Don't wait around. Get your ass to a cinema and watch Violent Night. It is excellent. This is a brand new David Harbour movie where he plays a drunken, jaded Santa Claus who's got to save a family from a group of mercenaries. It is Home Alone meets Die Hard with a bit of John Wick thrown in for good measure. And boy, does this movie deliver.
I mean, I can't think of another movie that delivers as hard as Violent Night does based on its trailer.
Not just its trailer, but based on its premise, right? In the sense that it says, this is what we're going to do. Boom, here it is in spades.
The director, Tommy Wakola, sort of really sets it off right at the beginning, because I think I've seen the trailer, but I don't remember much of it. So when the movie starts out and you see David Harbour sitting in a bar in Bristol drinking, and you're thinking, oh, I can't remember if he was supposed to be actually Santa Claus or just a mall Santa Claus type guy, right? 3 minutes later, they answer that question right off the bat. The movie immediately tells you what kind of movie you're going to get, right? So there's David Harbour's drunk at a bar. He goes up to the roof. The poor English barmaid walks up thinking that she's going to find another drunkard, you know, stranded on the roof. There's a moment of magic on her face when she realizes that it's the real Santa Claus. As it flies away, she's about to grin. She's looking up at it as the sleigh is flying over her, only for David Harbour to sort of lean over the side and vomit into her face. And you're like,
it's beautiful.
Yep, this is that movie. This is that movie, right? Off the bat, you get it. Yeah, magic's real. Santa Claus is real. But he vomits and pisses out of the sleigh.
Tommy Wirkola hasn't done very much that is notable, I have to say. I mean, his first big budget movie was Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters, which was all right. It was just kind of forgettable. However, his next movie, which is coming out next year, is called Spermageddon. I don't know what Spermageddon is, but now I want to watch it. What Tommy Wirkola sets out to do is not pretend like any of these movies that he's paying homage to don't exist. Right off the bat, they name check Home Alone. They name check Die Hard. There's a little girl in the film that Santa is communicating with, and they don't meet until the end, and he's communicating with her by way of a walkie-talkie. Like, that is the most iconic relationship in Die Hard as well, between McClane and the police officer on the ground floor. And so, you know, all of these tributes are right there, but at the same time, this is its own thing because there's a mythology of Santa Claus that's created. It's very much John Wick in that sense. There is a world that Tommy Wirkola kind of builds out that really, really works.
And I think Tommy Wirkola does all of that just enough, right? There is a mythology behind Santa Claus or Saint Nick that is in all the best ways alluded to. There's no massive long flashback to his history. There's no time spent on showing him becoming Saint Nick and earning his boots or whatever it is. It's just there. There's a quick flash. And even then, it's not to him becoming Santa Claus, but rather the life he led before being Santa Claus, which sort of explains how he is able to essentially open a massive can of whoop-ass on everybody.
It kind of pulls from a variety of mythologies that we've already seen before. It kind of makes reference to all of that. At the same time, you know, you also have, I don't know if it was intentional, but this allusion to the Santa Claus with Tim Allen, where the role of Santa is a rotating role that different people can take on and become Santa Claus. And that's kind of alluded to in this story as well, only David Harbour has been doing it for 1,100 years. There is so much here that works. Like, the movie does a lot. I mean, the family he's trying to save are a bunch of assholes. In your review, you call them Succession-esque assholes. And yes, that's exactly what they are. They're a bunch of rich people who you don't necessarily feel much sympathy for, but then it's very clever to introduce this little girl who is the daughter of one of the children, And she is the sympathetic core of the whole movie, right? She is why Santa is doing what he's doing, because he's jaded, he's tired, he's ready to walk away until he sees her through the window.
Yeah, you call it the sympathetic core, but it's a sympathetic core for the Santa Claus character. It means nothing to us. At least for me, she meant nothing. She doesn't get enough screen time for us to have an emotional attachment to her. She doesn't have that many lines. Her family is not someone we're introduced to yet. To us, we don't care. But I think for the Santa Claus character, she's that last vestige of childhood naivety that he's holding on to, because he's about to give up the sleigh because kids everywhere have sort of become more materialistic. You know, they're all asking for video games. Nobody's really that nice anymore. He's just done with everything until he meets this little girl. So it works for him. But I think, again, it's enough. It's not a complaint for us to say, oh, I don't care about the little girl, because the guy we are enjoying watching cares about her. We care about her enough.
She reminds him what it is to be on the nice list, right?
Yes.
When he looks at her track record, he's like, wow, you really were a good girl this year. And
yes,
I think all of that mythology kind of works well because it builds on what exists, but does it in a very cool way. The bad guys are a lot of fun and they're super funny as well. John Leguizamo takes the lead bad guy role and he is fantastic. I love the way Leguizamo loses his shit over Christmas. Like, oh, I had a bad Christmas and now I hate all Christmas. You know, I think that's just hilarious. And it just works in this black comedy.
It works in the sort of most Scrooge-like way, right? He's the Grinch, you know? He's the Grinch. He just hates Christmas. He had it bad that one time and it's just forever tarnished in his brain and he wants to ruin it for everybody else. And again, not a massive amount of backstory. Like Die Hard. We don't know where these guys are from. We don't care. They're here at the Nakamoto building. They just want, you know, just that's enough. Let's just get to the action. And I thought that was very well done. The balance is perfect.
That's exactly right. I think that's the right word. These 112 minutes are incredibly balanced with just the right amount of action, the right amount of violence, the right amount of emotion, because there are moments of real emotion here. But what I love about what Tommy Wirkola does is that all of that emotion is tinged with extreme violence. Like, this movie pulls no punches.
Yeah.
And what I love is that they use the implements of the season for the violence.
Yes, yes, yeah.
If you're making a violent Christmas movie, you use the Christmas things to fucking kill people, and this movie does it so well.
It does it so well. They never sort of skimp out on that. Yeah, there are guns, but Santa doesn't know how to use that stupid thing. You know, it's fine. And it's just, there are some real wonderful kills in this movie.
Also some great Christmas-themed one-liners too.
Yeah, that's true.
We won't spoil it, but the way David Harbour delivers them, it's just cheesy and fantastic.
But it feels like he's leaning into that cheese, right?
Totally.
He knows that by making it cheesy means we will talk about it. And I think they've achieved that beautifully.
David Harbour is also fantastic. Like you said in your review on the site, Bahe, he has made a meal out of playing characters like this, and he does it so well. Like the jaded... Yeah. I'm done with this. I'm too old for this shit.
He's not even that old, right?
Yeah. He does it so well in Stranger Things, in this, as the Red Guardian in Black Widow. It just works. He's just got the face for it.
His face works for that. I'm just tired. Just let me go. You know what I mean? even in an Extraction, where in the few scenes that he's had, you almost understand why he turns on Chris Hemsworth's character, right? Because he's just too tired for it. He just wants to get out. And it works so well. David Harbour's great.
And just going back to the fact that this movie pulls no punches, there was one kill. I did not see that coming. When John Leguizamo is introduced.
Oh.
I thought, you know what? Maybe he'll tie up the guy. Maybe he'll knock him out.
No. Merry Christmas, right there. I jumped in my seat when that happened.
Same.
I
was just like the character's introduced. Shit. It's a fucking sweet moment. You're like, oh, this guy will come back later and help. Nope.
Oh, Al. You know, you just And also, I think it works because it's John Leguizamo, right? He shows up, you're thinking, oh, John Leguizamo is going to accidentally be caught up in all of this, and then he's going to help Santa Claus. You know what I mean? He's the reluctant Christmas elf, you know, helping him out. But nope. Yeah, no.
Do you think that character was a direct homage to Die Hard? Because Reginald Val Johnson's cop is called Al.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh, maybe.
Also a black security guard.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I was, there's so many moments like that when I was just like pointing at the screen going,
yeah.
Oh, yes. Mm. And yeah, I'm pretty sure they're all Easter eggs. I mean, it feels like when you're making a movie like this, nothing like that happens by chance.
Yeah, but also I love the fact that it's not a pivotal wink and nod. You know what I mean? You catch it, you don't, it's fine. It's a split second thing on screen. Let's just move on.
There's another one, the mother, the asshole mother, matriarch of the family, is played by Beverly D'Angelo. And I was wondering if that was intentional casting as well, because it's the exact opposite of her character in National Lampoon's, in which she is the ultimate Christmas mom. And this is like the direct opposite of that. Oh. And I don't know if that was intentional too.
I didn't see that. But the problem is, for me, the last time I saw Beverly D'Angelo was when she was playing Ari Gold's rival agent in Entourage. And essentially that's this character. So it's kind of similar for me. So But I mean, again, this is a great movie with a lot of little Easter eggs that only sort of add to the movie, even if you don't see it at first.
I mean, we reviewed that Lindsay Lohan Christmas movie on Netflix. And in that review, we were talking about the kind of Christmas churn that happens every year, right?
Yeah.
And I think there are maybe a handful of movies that have been released in the modern era that kind of, I would say, contribute to the Christmas canon.
Yeah.
And for me, this is one of them. Like, the only other one that really emotionally moved me was Klaus, which came out on Netflix, I think, in 2019.
Yes. Yeah,
the
animation. Yeah.
And I watched that and I thought, this is a great modern mythology. Like, they redid the mythology of Santa Claus in a very clever way. And I think this fits into the modern canon. And I think Violent Night as well just works. Like, the use of music, man. Like, every... the use of classic Christmas tunes set to moments of immense violence.
Yeah.
It works.
It almost underscores those moments, right? It doesn't take it away from it. It actually makes you sort of lean into it a little more. It's
also
weird,
it's not
sort
loud.
Of psychological thing. Yeah.
It's not like jingle bell, right? While people are getting killed. No. It's subtle instrumental cues is what it is.
Yes.
Like, you
immediately
recognize it while you're focused on David Harbour shoving a star into someone's eyeball. Ah.
Oh, that was just, yeah. I mean, I don't know if this has got some of the best kills on screen, but it's got some of the most creative ones, I have to say.
It's been a long time since I've seen such good kills.
Right? Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, 100%.
What was the one that we were disappointed with? Halloween, wasn't it? Halloween didn't have a lot of great kills. Yeah, Halloween
had really boring kills.
This has got some real creative kills that will... Yeah, I mean, you'll remember them. That's for damn sure. You know, there's quite a few fun ones here.
I'll never look at ice skates the same way again.
I mean, to be fair, I've always thought ice skates were that, but but I think that was a classic. You know, you kind of have to do the ice skates. But no, you're right. I think Violent Night will go down in Christmas canon as great things to watch on screen while you're celebrating Christmas.
Also, this is the thing I can watch again.
Oh, absolutely. And also, no, you know what? Not just watch again, but this is the kind of thing where if I'm at my parents' house over Christmas or over New Year's and I see this is on HBO or on any of the streaming service, I'd be like, oh, no, you guys have to watch this.
Same. Yeah.
Grab a plate, you know, of dessert, of roast beef or turkey or whatever. Sit down. You guys have to watch this. This is good. Yeah.
We don't know how many people have actually gone out to watch this since it opened last Thursday, but we think you should stop what you're doing right now. Buy tickets and watch this on the big screen. It's also showing on IMAX. Massive screen kills. You will not be disappointed.
Man, okay.
Yeah, Violent Night, now in cinemas. The fact that we got it in Malaysian cinemas is exciting in itself, but it actually turned out to be a fucking great movie, which I hope spawns some sequels, because I want to see this Santa do more crazy shit. I want to meet Mrs. Claus. I want Mrs. Claus to be doing some crazy shit as well, because you know she's going to be a badass too.
With his history, with his Norse mythology history that they've set up, you know she's up for it, right?
Oh, totally, totally.
And how the movie ends, she delivers his favorite weapon. You gotta just go like, yeah, she knows what she's doing.
She knows what she's doing.
She knows what's up.
Let us know what you think once you've seen Violent Night. You know how to reach out to us. All of our social media feeds at GogglerMY. You can also email us, podcast@goggler.my, or send us a WhatsApp on the Goggler hotline, 012-524-5208. Thank you so much for listening. This is the Goggler Podcast.